Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Star Wars News Quarantined Edition. It's Steph Sobri, aka Chewbacca's daughter. We have a special guest on top of my co-pilot, Ryan Nilsson, head of Popcorn Talk in the house. And Brandon Hanna is joining us. He's our fellow AfterBuzz host, also Star Wars super fan. And we're so, so happy that you're here, Brandon.
Hello. Yes, I'm really excited to finally be on this show. I know it's something that Ryan and I have talked about for what seems like months now. So months. Really happy that I guess this quarantine has given us this opportunity finally. So I'll take
yeah.
Dude, Brandon has
a
been in the chat.
A lot more is possible now.
Like, Brandon's been in the chat like every episode. So like massive kudos, dude. We're so psyched you're here.
Yeah, it's truly the best. And we have a really fun episode planned, you guys. We're going to go over the news. There's a lot of fun things circling around. A lot of rumors, in particular for Mandalorian and the Obi-Wan series isn't a rumor. But I see you guys already talking about that in the chat. And then we're going to do our Price is Right game again with Ryan heading that. I'm so excited. I love that
game. Got some
game.
Special stuff in store for later.
Let's yes. jump right in, and I do hope everyone's staying safe at home, by the way. Always reach out to Rye or I, and I'm sure Brandon, if you want to talk, if you're lonely, quarantining, whatever it may be, we're always here. So Obi-Wan series now has a new writer, which is kind of crazy. So Hossein Amini was the original writer, but now Joby Harold has been tapped to write it. But that's interesting because Ewan McGregor said that he loved the script. So I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are. Do you think that they're changing the entire script or maybe just making a few minor edits? What's your feelings about it,
yeah.
Brandon?
Brandon.
I don't really know. I mean, it feels like they're starting over from scratch, which I guess it means they're really trying to make this series the best it possibly can be. And I think, you know, Ryan might have some additional takes as to why they want to completely scratch the original script. I'll let him get into that. But as long as Ewan McGregor stays attached, I'm going to continue to be excited for this no matter what. So I have confidence. I believe.
Ryan, what do you think?
What do I think? I think that the stakes of this show are very high, okay? Like, if they happen to just mess this up a little bit, it's a big deal. I think this is just something that I think is such a sure bet to be good. Everyone's going to watch it, like anything Star Wars, but especially the Obi-Wan series, you're going to get such a far pull of fans, everyone who's prequel fans, original fans. Like, this is really for everyone, and I think you could have such a high success rate. I think the reason they're getting a new writer is because it's too similar to Mandalorian. The rumor is, in the article, is that it was following Obi-Wan protecting a young child, which we're all assuming was probably Luke, and that sounds a lot like the Mandalorian protecting Baby Yoda. So I think they're going back to the drawing board. They got Joby Harold. I mean, this dude has a few credits. Most notably was John Wick Parabellum last year, and
yeah.
I like that movie. It's a big action movie, so maybe they're bringing him into to add a little bit more action in. The big thing for me is they still got Deborah Chow directing it for now, which awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds like they have the same team. It's just they're bringing in a new writer, and I like this move. I like them kind of reading the room, taking the temperature, and now, all right, let's just go back to the writer's room and fix a few things, make a few adjustments so this can be the best it can. I'm just worried that I really hope they're not doing a full-on rewrite, because then that might delay the series even farther. Like, I don't even know when we're gonna
really
get this.
Long time.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting. They're kind of, the quarantine will probably play in their favor in a lot of senses, where the pressure is kind of off. They have a pandemic as an excuse to time, which makes complete sense. But it would be a big change to make to rewrite it completely. I do think where Star Wars can struggle, like the newer stuff struggles, is when it rewrites what has already been written. So I wouldn't want to see something really similar to The Mandalorian, because we obviously got The Mandalorian. And the reason why The Mandalorian was such a success was because it was a big difference from everything that we've seen with the new stuff.
I completely agree. I mean, what do you think, Brandon? Like, I feel like a lot of people overblow when they bring a new writer on. Like, yeah, they're making a change. That obviously they're pivoting. I think I get a little worried. I get a little I clench up just because the history of Star Wars bringing in new writers has always led to some problematic things. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean that's my initial feeling as well. But then I always try to come at it with more of a level head. If they're taking more time on it, then I mean that gives me confidence that they're really trying to make it right. For my own personal opinion, they went back and had Tony Gilroy do a lot of the rewriting and the reshoots for the whole third act of Rogue One. And to me, that's my favorite part of the film, is that entire third act. So I think that was a very beneficial thing for them to do. And if they didn't do that, maybe the movie wouldn't have turned out so well, or maybe I personally wouldn't have liked it as much. But, and then you go on the opposite side of the coin, where things with Rise of Skywalker were maybe a bit rushed. And if they had pushed the movie back, if they had taken a little more time to iron out the details, I think there's even a recent quote from Chris Terrio saying they were constantly rewriting the script and it was never good enough, and it was never good enough, and it was never good enough. And it's tough when you get into that position. And you can be kind of worried that maybe they're in a similar position with the Obi-Wan series, but I trust they're doing it for the right reasons. They're going to take their time to get it right. Maybe this self-quarantine is giving them even more time than they initially had, which could be a little silver lining in all of this. So yeah, I'm going to try to keep a level head, stay positive. Deborah Chow, Ewan McGregor, it's all I need.
Yeah,
everything else.
I was just going to say that. Like, really, really, what's most important that we stay focused on is Deborah Chow.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like, if we have that, we're fine. Because I feel like the Mandalorian writing was good, but it wasn't what made the show to me. I think the directors really, really carried a lot of that on their back.
Completely agree.
So in other Mandalorian news, though, this was kind of fun. There is some speculation going around because Dave Filoni changed his Twitter banner to show, and it has Clone Captain Rex in it, which is crazy. And a lot of people are speculating, does this mean that we're going to have this new character, this character featured in Mandalorian season 2? Rye, what do you think? Rumor? Or do you think he's playing with us, or it's going to happen?
What do I think? For all those, I would just play the rumor has it sound effect. I got so excited when I saw this. Then I had to check myself because I was like, it's April 1st. It's April 1st. It's April 1st. And someone fooled me yesterday, and I even texted Steph in a panic because I saw a headline that was like, Jake Gyllenhaal, Bossk in Mandalorian season 2. And I was like, Steph, did you see this? And she goes, click the link. And it was fake.
It was fake. It was a really good fake rumor because I believed it, because everyone taps Jake Gyllenhaal to do whatever.
Exactly. Like, they're casting him in everything. And he would totally fit that part. They should make that a reality. Anyway.
Yeah.
This
I agree.
This is a cool detail. So there's a lot of context to go along with this. So yes, he did just make this his banner, and it's an image. I'll try to get it up on screen. It's Ahsoka Tano older with like an aged Captain Rex from the Clone Wars series, and they're riding like these animals through a desert. And hey, they're working on Mandalorian season 2. We just heard about Rosario Dawson. Let's get Captain Rex in there. That would be amazing, and that would tie a lot of cool things. Maybe get the actor who played Django. That banner has been around since 2015. And it was his Facebook banner for a really long time. He just made it his Twitter banner. So it's not like he made this week or someone drew it up and he uploaded it. This image has been out there for a while, but the timing is peculiar. The timing around, hey, we just had all these announcements of Rosario Dawson. We're finishing filming. There's all these other rumors. It's a little peculiar that he would make that his new Twitter banner. So I'm still wondering, is it a coincidence? I hope not. Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it might just be a coincidence, but how cool would that be if we had Tamara Morrison come back and play Rex in The Mandalorian? I'm with you, Ryan. I want to see it. I don't know if it's going to happen, though. But, I mean, I'm just still psyched that looks like we're going to get Rosario Dawson. So yeah. I don't want to get too greedy. So I'm just going to temper my expectations a little bit and hope for the best with most things, I suppose, these days.
It's true. I feel like we are getting a lot. Or what are you putting in? A picture?
This was just the picture. But yeah, there it is right there.
Oh, yes. There it is. Thanks, Rye.
Yeah. It's pretty badass.
Yeah. Okay. This would be really exciting, but I don't know. I feel like it could happen. I feel like Dave Filoni, he's a purposeful guy. I don't think that he's doing... I think he's in quarantine. He's probably like, you know what? Let me just throw this out there. I don't think that... I don't know. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. We still have so many great characters coming back to The Mandalorian Season 2. And if it does happen, that would be awesome. And I'd be very, very excited for that.
I think I'd cry if I saw...
Right. There's another rumor in...
Sorry, I think I'd cry if I saw the guy who played Jango.
I feel like there's a delay. What'd you say, Rye?
I was just talking about my hype for Clone Wars and how incredible it would be if we saw that actor back here in Mandalorian Season 2. But Seth,
how's the season going for you?
Season's going great. We just got Ahsoka Tano the past two episodes, and it looks like we're closing out an arc tonight. So you know I'm gonna be glued to my screen at midnight watching Clone Wars. But yeah, it's been great so far. You all should tune in to our after show every Friday at 10 a.m.
Yes. Okay, so this is another rumor, and this is regarding concept art for Michael Bane's character in Season 2 of Mandalorian. Rye, can you talk a little bit about this?
Right, so Michael Bane, obviously, like, awesome actor, dude was an alien, the first Terminator. We were talking last week about the rumor that he's in Mandalorian Season 2. It's all but confirmed. He's even come out and been like, can't wait to get in it. So this, I sent this to Steph. There is this guy who, he's known for breaking scoops on Star Wars. This is just like the craziest deal. And last night... later this week, he put up a video of himself by a campfire just talking about Star Wars because he's housebound, he's socially isolating, and he just said, hey, I have this image, I know it's real, and when I get more, I'll send them all to you. And he shows this image right here of what Michael Bean's concept art is supposedly supposed to be. Oh god, I think it's popping up right now. Yeah, right here. And it looks pretty awesome. Sorry about the delay, guys. It looks pretty awesome. I think it looks a lot like Gina Carano's character's concept art, so like maybe there's a relation there. What do you think?
This is way more samurai.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Like the headgear.
Yeah, I'm getting like a samurai vibe, too. Yeah, maybe a Knights of Ren vibe, but like a good Knights of Ren.
For sure. I'm definitely getting there that as well. I like his weapons kind of badass. If this is true, like it just shows the continuation of like, look how awesome a job Jon Favreau is doing with Mandalorian. Like this looks like it fits right in, and I can't wait to see it actualized.
Yeah, the concept art from season one of The Mandalorian was so dope too. I feel like, I don't know if it's just because technology is better now, but the concept art seems like stuff we've never seen before. In the way that they were able to make the concept art into a reality makes me really excited about any concept art that we're getting for season two, because if that's what it looks like, I'm so here for that.
Yeah, I'm curious if you guys think it's going to be like another scenario where he's just like a character that comes in and out, or do you think he's gonna stay with the rest of the series? Because he's a pretty big name, he just hasn't been in that large of projects lately. I don't know. I think this could be like a return to form for his career, like a big resurgence, and I just can't wait to see what we get from Michael Bean.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be. I don't know. It's hard with The Mandalorian. I don't think that any character other than The Mandalorian is really featured.
Well, I mean, we got... It looks like...
Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for it, for sure. I could definitely see him being a part of season-long arc, whether or not he continues to be on the show for however many seasons it is. I don't know. He seems like we might get some sort of big, glorious death out of his character. You know, his last name is Bean. You know, Sean Bean dies all the time. So why not Michael Bean, too? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But I'm excited for it either way.
Yeah.
I think I got Ryan a little bit on that one.
Sean Bean dies all the time. Yeah.
Okay, another rumor is regarding Jamie Lee Curtis, a true queen. I love her so much. She was making Star Wars is someone who, or it's like a group. I don't know what they unleash secrets sometimes, but they said that she was spotted on set, but they don't know if it was because she was on set for Avatar 2. So that would make sense as well. I'm not sure, but I could definitely see her having a little cameo role, much like the cameo roles we had in season one, and she would be so awesome. I could see her doing a really funny little role. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I think she's having a bit of a wave right now. Coming off of Knives Out, the new Halloween movie. So like her career is kicking it into like yet again another high gear. I think she would be a welcomed addition. This comes up to the question again, though. You know, Star Wars isn't known for really taking like big actors that we've seen in like a ton of things and have them in. They usually go for some unknowns, or lately it's just like some actors that are really hot right now with like some indies, hence like Oscar Isaacs in the new trilogy. So I'd be curious to see what kind of character she would play. I think she would be great as like a new droid character. Like we had Taika in season one. I would love to see Jamie Lee Curtis voice a droid in season two.
Ooh, that would be, I could totally see her doing that.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty
awesome.
She has
such a good voice for that.
What do you think,
Are you a Jamie Lee Curtis fan, Brandon?
I am. I'm a huge horror film, slasher film fan. So obviously I love her in all the Halloween movies that she's in and everything else. And yeah, she's absolutely a queen, as you said. So obviously it would be amazing to have her show up in The Mandalorian. And I think Ryan hit the nail right on the head. She would be perfect for a droid. And it's a perfect way to introduce another actor, like a famous actor, but in a way where you might not recognize it's them. Like Pedro Pascal has been pretty well known, but he's got the helmet on all the time. So and Taika Waititi as IG-11. So I could definitely see her doing a droid. Now that's all I want. So let's make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so here for it. We'll see. I think that a lot of the rumors will start to close in very soon because fall is really, really coming up quickly, especially with all this quarantine. I feel like they're going to have to release more and more information leading up to the premiere of season two. Another story I'm very, very excited about. This is crazy. Mr. Sunday Movies turned Colin Trevorrow's script, Duel of the Fates, into a little animated series or animated episode. And it was insane. He had the help of an actual animator. I want to get his name right because he was awesome. Oh, Ethan Taylor. Props to him because the animation is so fun. They're like little Funko characters. But wow, it's crazy to see what you read in the script or what we think the leaked script is. There's still not total confirmation of that. Play out into an animated sketch. Ryan, give me your thoughts on it.
Gosh, this was so cool. So and again, yeah, this was the script that was supposed to be episode 9 until they got rid of Colin Trevorrow. I thought this animation was awesome. It's 10 minutes and it just kind of breezes through the script and it's solid animation, so you have like you walk away with a pretty good idea of what the movie would have looked like. I really liked it. It made me again like what could have been. You can't really get stuck in the past like that, but I thought this was really fun. It also showed some things that like, okay, maybe I wouldn't have been as all right with like Oscar with Poe maybe kissing Rey and things of that nature. Like there's some elements of the story that when I read I was like, wow, that could be awesome, and then kind of seeing them sort of put into a narrative like this in this animation, I was kind of second guessing, but wow, it just made me kind of wonder what could have been. Brandon, what did you think?
So I didn't get the opportunity to watch the animation yet, but I am a huge fan of the leaked Colin Trevorrow script. Are you turning your head on me, Ryan? I'm a huge fan of the Colin Trevorrow leaked script. Obviously you can't say whether or not it would have been better than Rise of Skywalker because we haven't seen the movie, but based on the script alone, I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed reading through it. And like you said, there's some small things that maybe I wouldn't have loved entirely, but as a whole, it just felt like a natural succession to The Last Jedi in the best way possible. But yeah, I can't wait to watch it. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, you're gonna love it, Brandon. I feel like it's like a treat, and it's so dope that they did that. Like, that takes so much time, and obviously they're gonna get a ton of eyes on that page and to that visual artist who did that as well. So there is gonna be like, they're gonna get stuff out of it, but it is like, I feel like a little quarantine gift that we got to watch that. It's just like more Star Wars content in a different way. It is kind of, I do think it could have worked out, but we also don't know that. I mean, it could have just not worked for the movie. It also is a way darker take on everything. It flips a lot of what we know about the Jedi and what Rey's progression into a completely different way. I don't particularly love her eyes being slashed, but I do love the Rey and Kylo relationship more in this movie. It does seem, or in this fake script, it seems to be more in line with what you thought would happen with the two of them.
This movie's not for Reylo.
Ryan, what's that term?
It's just not. I don't know if this movie is for the not. Reylo fans. Yeah.
No, but you
I'm
know
not
what?
A Reylo fan.
Hey, I'm a Reylo fan, 100%. But I wasn't until The Rise of Skywalker. So if this movie came out, I would have never become a Reylo. I would have been like, this makes perfect sense. They don't belong together. But then I saw The Rise of Skywalker, and I was like, well, damn. They like, that's one thing they nailed, I thought, in the movie. They made me a true Reylo believer. And also, we wouldn't have gotten Babu Frick in this version of the movie, so I don't know if it's really
listen,
worth it.
You know, Brandon, I'm a Rise of Skywalker fan. I love that movie. Steph, I'm going to sit on that opinion for the rest of my life because that's how I felt about the movie. However, I do not like the Reylo thing. I'm a Rey and Finn gal till the day I die. But in this, I love in the animated part that they showed the Oscar and Rey kiss. I told you about that, Ryan. You missed that part in the script.
I know. I did. I did miss that part. I thought it was interesting to see. I knew Steph was going to like that, but that was actually a part where I was like, come on. But it's a cool animation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I hope you guys check it out too. It's Mr. Sunday Movie, so you can go watch that if you haven't already. On to some movie news. Solo, A Star Wars Story. So it was trending again because it was a year after Solo, A Star Wars Story came out. And the co-writer, John Kasdan, tweeted about how he was really, really happy to see that hashtag MakeSolo2 happen was trending on Twitter, and he was really grateful for it. And he said, quote, beyond grateful and galvanized by the hashtag MakeSolo2 happen. Energy on Twitter today means so much to everyone involved, and your enthusiasm makes it possible for us to keep advocating for it. So it's interesting. I don't think it's going to happen, especially now with the way streaming sites are taking over. Perhaps it could be something on Disney Plus. I'm not totally interested in seeing this in Solo 2. Ryan, are you?
I mean, I was curious. Yeah, do you even want it? It's interesting when you go on film Twitter or even Star Wars Twitter, and there's a pocket of fans that really liked it and want a second one, and they were clearly gearing it up at the end of the movie for a sequel, just to see what's going on with any of the other characters, even throwing Darth Maul in there. It's totally, I don't need it. I don't want it. I think it's a little awkward without it. Don't get me wrong, but it's the last thing I would really want to see at this point in time. In fact, I feel like it's a story that if there is some kind of Disney Plus series down the road and you want to just meander into those characters one more time and finish whatever they were setting up, sure, but it's not anywhere near the top of my list for a movie I want to see. And yeah, the slate, I don't even know if the slate is too crowded. I just don't think that they really want it. I just don't think that there is a large enough want out there for Solo 2.
Yeah. Brandon, were you a Solo fan?
I am a Solo fan, actually. When I first saw the movie in theaters, I was kind of lukewarm on it. But the more and more I watched it, I've become more and more of a fan. It grows on me every time. Cool. So actually,
wait,
I really
enjoyed it. How many times have you watched it?
Well, I don't know. At least anywhere from half a dozen to a dozen times.
Brandon, what the hell, dude? Sorry.
It's
all good. It's all good.
At the front of this episode, you called me.
Embrace
you called
it.
Me a hardcore Star Wars.
You
fan.
Are. You are. Embrace.
Okay,
embrace
I also
it.
Have to memorize this stuff.
Oh
for
yeah.
A movie
wait. I forgot.
Show.
Embrace it.
Brandon does Schmodown stuff, so it would make sense that he watches movies multiple times for the knowledge aspect. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's trying to learn so that when it comes to competition time, he can win.
That's a great
example. Exactly. Experience. Even though I keep getting Star Wars questions wrong, eventually I'm going to get them right.
Yeah.
But yes. I do really enjoy this movie. I really enjoy John Kasdan's and Lawrence Kasdan's writing. I think the screenplay is really well done.
Yeah.
I've never disliked anything Lawrence Kasdan has done with Star Wars. There's a big reason why The Force Awakens worked so well, and I think it was Lawrence Kasdan, and he was missed a little bit in Episode 9. And the John Powell score is absolutely phenomenal, if you ask me. That's honestly, like, when I went to the Galaxy's Edge for the first time, and I looked up at the Millennium Falcon, that's the score that popped in my head.
Wow.
Same musical cue that hits when Han Solo looks at the Falcon for the first time. So,
okay.
I'm a fan.
Okay.
That was poetic.
He defended it. That's cool.
Okay. Yeah, he did. I respect that defense. I don't agree with it, but I respect it. And I love the poetic justice that you played in your head in the Galaxy's Edge.
Thank you.
Sad news, actually really, really, really sad news that I want to make sure that we cover. Dialect coach and Star Wars actor Andrew Jack passed away this past week from complications with COVID-19. It's really, really awful. His wife couldn't even be there with him. So our prayers and condolences and respects and love go out to his entire family, his friends, everyone. And it really affected a lot of people. He has worked with many people on many sets, including Lord of the Rings, and who else? He worked with a slew of top actors, and everyone just had the nicest things to say to him. He was also in The Force Awakens. He was in a scene and he was next to Han Solo and Princess Leia, which was awesome. There's a circling the internet that just epitomizes what a like impact he had in the Star Wars galaxy. So it's really sad. J.J. Abrams paid tribute, as well as John Boyega. J.J. said, Andrew Jack was as lovely as they come. Our brilliant dialect coach on The Force Awakens. He was so handsome, we had to cast him. Sending love to his friends and family. John Boyega, who was one of the people that he was working on his accent for all of the movies, said, rest in peace, Andrew Jack, one of the most supportive people in our industry, a nurturer on set, and the kind of person that was also always up for an uplifting conversation. Stay safe, everyone. So it was really, really sad to hear that.
Yeah, it just goes to show, again, like, we should all be washing our hands. Just be, you know, be careful out there. Obviously, like, really sad loss, but it's nice that they paid some tribute to him. He has a scene, I think, in The Last Jedi, like right before the Battle of Crait, where he comes out and he's got goggles. I think, you know, he's like basically just one of the rebels. But a lot of people on set knew him, and he's a dialect coach, as he said. He's a great talent, so it's just really, really sad.
He does completely – I don't blame J.J. He has a Star Wars look. Like, I feel like if I saw him on set, I would want him somewhere in some scene too.
Yeah.
So I mean, what a legacy and what an impact he's had. So he will be surely missed. In other news, a fun cameo, or not cameo, but like a scene was kind of cracked open from Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. And it's where General Grievous, you guys must have seen it, like swarming the internet. General Grievous is about to get in another a saber fight with Obi-Wan, and you see him pulling out all his lightsabers. In the back of the scene, there's two droids, and one's not paying attention, and the other kind of knocks him to look. I never noticed that. Did you guys?
Brandon, did you ever see that before?
For me, this was... Yeah, so I don't think it's something I've noticed while watching the movie, but there's been memes about it circulating the internet for quite some time now, where people put their own different like text of what they think the droids might be saying. But yeah, so I didn't notice it until then, but it's absolutely hilarious. It's a fun little Easter egg. There's a lot of fun stuff like that in Revenge of the Sith with the battle droids. Like, even I love in the beginning when General Grievous has Anakin and Obi-Wan prisoner, and the one battle droid gives Grievous the lightsabers, and Grievous just snatches them away from him, and the droid just goes, "You're welcome." Just, silly stuff like that. So it totally fits. It's a fun little bit in the movie. So yeah, I don't know. Nothing but good things to say about it.
I think the animator is Gene Denis Ha, and during this quarantine, this whole week, he's just been tweeting stuff like, "Hey, when we were working on the prequels, George Lucas said we can put in Easter eggs, but they can't be anything that draws the eye of any viewer. It has to just be strictly in the background." And I think there were a few other ones, like the AirPod from 2001 A Space Odyssey is in the background, a bunch of scenes in Phantom Menace, just a lot of really cool stuff. So check him out on Twitter at Gene Denis Haas.
Yeah, that was funny. He's like, when he quote tweeted that and said, "Dare I add, this was me, best internship ever." So he was an intern there, which is just so cool that that can wrap around like that. And he's gone on to work on a bunch of other films, including Pirates of the Caribbean, Transformers, Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, Star Trek, Avatar. Wow, so much. Iron Man, that's crazy. He's talented, and that was a really funny scene. So I like those little things that are popping up now when the news is so dark. I want to see more stuff like that. Give me more Easter eggs.
Please.
Oh, this is great news, you guys. The first affordable Baby Yoda toy has come around, and it will be available for shipment in September. It's a plush Baby Yoda. I'm 100% getting this. 100%. It's only $12.99.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like already pre-ordering. I'm pre-ordering this thing. I'm putting this on all the wish lists. It's affordable because every other Baby Yoda toy that's been out there is like $120. This is the first one that you can actually get at a reasonable price for $12.99. So thank God. And now we can actually have some plush happiness. I love Chewbacca, but I need my Baby Yoda.
Yeah, everyone needs that Baby Yoda. Are you a Baby Yoda fan, Brandon?
I am. I do love Baby Yoda, I suppose, just as much as everyone else. Yeah, I guess I'll have to, if it's affordable, I'll have to look into getting myself my own Baby Yoda. And then maybe me and him could have adventures around the apartment while we're stuck in this quarantine. And I can keep him safe.
I wonder if anyone has gotten a Baby Yoda tattoo yet.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, it has had to happen. Okay, I'm very excited because we have time for Price is Right. Holy Ryan, cow. Are you ready for that?
Oh my God, so ready. All right, so
For new listeners, can you explain what we're doing?
Yes, so this is the Price is Right Star Wars edition. What's different from the normal Price is Right is, so we're going to show some Star Wars merchandise strictly from eBay in North America that has at least one bid on it. And this week... So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a photo of the product, list to you some condition information, what the name of the seller is, and then we're going to take guesses in the chat and from Steph and Brandon how much they think it is. Today we have five with two tiebreakers in case we get there. I did email you guys the photos, but I'll still put them up just in case you didn't get that. So here we go. We got a lot of lunch boxes today, but we're going to start out with something that I was shocked that this was an item, and it's completely sold out. The first item is, this is Emperor Palpatine's cane. Sheev Palpatine's cane that you could only get...
Oh.
Yes, you could only get it at Galaxy's Edge or at Disney World, Disneyland. However, it's sold out, and since the parks are closed, you will probably not be able to get this anytime soon. The condition is new. It is unopened. I didn't really know what he meant by typing unopened, because it looks like there's just a tag around it. And it's only sold inside the park. The seller's name is Fashion Tech Collectibles. He sold 162 items, all positive reviews. So, Steph, Brandon, live chat, how much do you think this is?
Oh, man. I want it. I'll tell you that. So now I'm wondering, how much would I pay for it? Disneyland's closed. I think you got to take that into consideration.
Definitely.
I'd say $125.
Ooh, okay, Steph, what
do
you
got? I think $85.
$85. And I think in the live chat, by the way, live every Thursday, 4 p.m. Shout out to a bunch of people in the live chat. We got Star Drew going $80. Ivan Soto, $70.84. So, guys, keep putting in your bets in there. $50 from Greg and $175 from Laura. Laura Nilsson in the chat. Guys, the correct...
Laura!
Shout out. The correct answer is... And wait, Brandon, quickly remind me how much you thought it was.
I said $125.
I actually think Laura wins, because it is $250 for Sheev Palpatine's cane.
Wow.
Holy cow.
I wanted to say 200, but I was like, oh, that's too high.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it's good condition. It's glossy. It's about...
all right, I guess I'm buying it.
It's about 3 feet tall. Going into some lunchboxes. So, you know, Star Wars has always had a ton of collectibles. Lunchboxes included, and I know a lot of people aren't really taking their lunch out these days, but once we get out of this whole situation, I'm sure you're gonna need a lunchbox. So we're checking out, this is from 1977. This is retro lunchbox. It's got Darth Vader, C-3PO, R2 on it. Again, it is used in incredible shape though, and it has a thermos inside that you can get a look at right here. The seller's name is Kuru98. And it is, guys, this was the classic Star Wars 1977 lunchbox. How much do we think this is?
$150.
Brandon, what do you got?
You know what? I'm going to once again say $125. I feel like if I keep guessing that number, one of them's going to come up.
Thank you, Brandon. And from the chat, first off, Darth Baca going, nice, Laura. Great job, Laura. Shout out to Laura. We have Star Drew with $150, copying Steph there. Ivan Soto with $30. Wow, Humphrey Bogart says, I've held Palpatine's cane in my hands. I'm interested what you mean by that. Star Drew going $150 over $200.
Oh.
And Ryan Kramer at $400. The correct answer may surprise you. And I believe Steph is our winner. This is $100, guys. This goes for $100 in good condition. Steph is on the board with one. Well done, Sabra. The next...
Yes!
We're going to yet again another lunchbox. This is just now not for A New Hope. This is the Empire Strikes Back lunchbox. Again, these were all like big collector editions back in the day. This one has Yoda, Darth Vader, R2 on it. Really cool stuff here. I'm showing you all the angles. Like, super well designed. This is metal. Just some details. This one is used, so it's way more used than the other one we just saw. There's no drink container. And the seller was like, please look at the pics. And the seller's name is Davids7847. This is the only item he has tried to sell, so he does not have a good reputation, which might indicate what the price is. I'm taking guesses, y'all. What do we think? Let's start, Brandon.
I'm going to say $110.
Wow, okay.
$50.
Nice. Again, the details, they matter, guys. It's the first time he's ever tried to sell something. It's bad. It's not great condition. From the chat, we got... We got Greg saying, take my money. Congrats, Steph. I think they're just a little bit behind us here. but the answer may surprise you. It's $10 with one bid for 20. There's a bidding war for 20. So this one is the cheapest. Again, the condition is poor, and with a lot of this type of stuff, the condition is really all that matters. So there you go. And the final lunchbox in our Price is Right. This is Return
of
the
Jedi. Looks like I won again.
Yeah, Steph winning. She's on the board with two. This is the final lunchbox from Return of the Jedi. This is from a very reputable site. So the exact opposite of the one we just saw. Freak Collectibles. Freak Toys with a Z Collectibles. This one's such a cool design. Again, there's 10 people bidding on it. This site has sold 8,700 toys before, all positive ratings. It's never been used, mint condition. Really just an awesome, it went for $5.99 back in the day, but it's worth way more now. What do we think? Let's start with Steph on this one.
$225.
Brandon?
Oh, I was going to go way lower. Now you made me nervous. No, I'm going to stick with it. $83.
And just like looking in the chat real quick, a lot of people throwing out their guesses. Humphrey Bogart with 6,666. I think he's going on an Order 66 joke right there. Ivan Soto.
Yeah.
Amanda Koji.
He's throwing out 180. Star Drew with 250. Rob K with 310. Everyone's like, pristine condition. Darth Baca 260. Manny Gonzalez 260. The answer may not surprise Steph Sabraw because you got it exact number 225 on eBay, mint condition.
Yes!
Steph is killing it this week with the guesses. We have one more item. This is my favorite item here today. So we'll have this one be worth like 8,000 points. So Brandon, you still have a shot. And everyone in the chat, you still have a shot. But Steph, honestly, is just kind of running away with it today. This is an R2-D2 fish aquarium. Yes, you heard me right. An R2-D2 fish aquarium. If you see there, like a normal console, there's a big tube. It looks like you can feed water in. If you look, there's the stethoscope that you think R2 kind of looks out of. If you look in that, you get a little magnified view of the aquarium itself. There's the seller's arm. It's pretty hairy. What did we... here's like the view photo of it. Boom. That's what it's supposed to look like. Obviously, like a really cool product. We're going to Brandon first. Mr. Box Office Bet here. What do you think?
Maybe I should stick to predicting the box office. I'm gonna go with $335.
Let me preface this, Brandon. A normal fish aquarium. How do you think that costs $350? Because like a normal aquarium's probably like close to 1,000. Now we're adding Star Wars on top of it.
I don't know. It looks kind of cheap to me, Ryan.
Wow. Okay. And we're going to Steph Sabraw. Holy cow. I mean,
oh my God.
Let's just take a shot. By the way, I didn't say the seller. The seller is Zam Morgesso. He sold over 355 items. There's a built-in periscope so that you can see, like, have an intimate view of the aquatic activity. It's made out of acrylic, and it's been discontinued for unknown reasons, but it's a 1.75 gallon tank.
Because
Steph,
it kills fish as soon as they enter the tank. I'm not going to lie, it doesn't look that nice, but
wow.
But I would want this regardless. I'm not a fish owner though, but if I was, I think I would have this. I'm going to say this is
$2,300. $2,300 is your guess. All right, let's check in the chat here.
She added $2,000 to my.
She added $2,000.
Split the difference.
Rob K with $3,350. Laura Nilsson $750. Greg Mostovich saying $400. Sly the Movie Guy $55. Manny Gonzalez Chewy selling R2 for $1,000. Again, she has just kind of annihilated today. The price is $2,000. Steph Sabraw running away with it. I think she needs to go to a cantina. She needs to go. she needs to go start betting, do the lottery.
I would be lying if I didn't say I was incredible.
Well done. This was Star Wars Price is Right.
Let me just put on my Dave Filoni hat of shame.
Oh my God, you have become Dave Filoni.
Yeah,
guys, that was Star
Wars.
Yeah,
Brandon,
Price is Right.
It wasn't your best.
No,
Brian,
it was not
thank
my
you
best
so much.
At all.
You got it.
Ryan, I could definitely see you replacing Drew Carey in like 20 years if you felt like it.
Thanks.
Only if you feel like it.
Only if you feel like it, because you can do whatever you want, because I believe in you.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, well, this has been an awesome episode. We do have to wrap, unfortunately. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. Can you let everyone know what you're working on or doing, where they can find you, all of that good stuff?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It was so much fun to just come on here and talk Star Wars. If you want to find me on social media, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHanna07. I'm also doing two after shows currently for AfterBuzz TV. Sunday nights at 10 p.m., we cover Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. And Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we cover Briar Patch over on the USA Network, which has Rosario Dawson in it, future Ahsoka herself. So if you have any interest in checking those out, I'd greatly appreciate it. We try to have